Good afternoon. Welcome to Oremus Communications Internet Radio. This is Emily Osmond.
And I'm Anne Courtney.
From the Legion of Mary in St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America. Today is January 4th, 2019. Happy New Year to all. Last January 1st, New Year's Day, was also the Feast of the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. January 6th, on Sunday, is the Feast of the Epiphany. So before the Divine Mercy Chaplet, we will talk about these feast days. And stay tuned after the chaplet. We will pray the novena for priests. And
during the 12 days of Christmas, the Catholic Church celebrates many important feasts, including the feasts of Saint Stephen, the first martyr, on December 26, whose martyrdom is recorded in Acts of the Apostles. Saint John the Apostle's feast is December 27, who wrote the Gospel of John and the Book of Revelation, as well as three epistles. The Holy Innocents feast is celebrated on December 28. The children who were slaughtered at the order of King Herod when he was trying to kill off the Christ child, and the Holy Family feast celebrated normally on the Sunday following Christmas, and on December 30th when Christmas falls on a Sunday. None of these wonderful feasts, however, is as important as the feast celebrated on the octave, which is the eighth day of Christmas, January 1st, the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. And as you noted by Emily, we are still celebrating the Christmas season, all 12 days. We celebrated the liturgical feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary on just January 1st, which is the octave of Christmas. Only Christmas and Easter enjoy the privilege of an octave, which is an eight-day extension of the feast. The honoring of Mary as the Mother of God can be traced back to the Council of Ephesus in 431. The feast is a celebration of Mary's motherhood of Jesus. The title, Mother of God, is a Western derivation from the Greek Theotokos, which means God-bearer. On this day, we are reminded of the role that the Blessed Virgin played in the plan of our salvation. Through the Holy Spirit, God the Father prepared Mary to be the dwelling place where His Son and His Spirit could dwell among men. Christ's birth was made possible by Mary's fiat, or her great yes, or sanctioning of God's plan with her yet words, "Be it done to me according to thy word." Calling Mary Mother of God is the highest honor we can give to her, just as Christmas honors Jesus as the Prince of Peace. The Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, honors Mary as the Queen of Peace. New Year's Day is also designated as World Day of Peace, further acknowledging the role of Mary in our hearts and in our world. The Holy Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God, the image of Blessed Mary that comes to us from these pages of Scripture is the image of a person of great calm and wisdom, one who takes the time to reflect upon all that is going on around her. Mary didn't live in the fast-paced world that surrounds all of us on all sides today. We not only may drive 90 miles an hour at times, I'm sure we don't do that, but there's also real possibility of living at a 90 miles per hour speed. Just think about preparing for Christmas in whatever ways we prepared for Jesus' birth. buying food, shopping for gifts, wrapping gifts, going to work, trying to fit a visit in, ramped up schedules, mailing Christmas cards, mailing invitations, having parties. Heaven forbid the funeral of a loved one should have happened during the Christmas time. It's good to stay busy, but it's also good, if not better, to be calm and reflective like Mary. Mary, the Mother of God, is a feast that was drawn from the early church council of Ephesus in the year 431. The title Mother of God was a title that needed to be emphasized and determined by the church fathers to be an infallible, meaning divinely revealed. The reason for the emphasis being that some purported Christians were labeling Mary the mother of Jesus and not the mother of God. The mother of Jesus title emphasizes the humanity of Christ while not recognizing his divine nature. The mother of God title points to both Jesus' human and divine nature, being the truth of who he is. So, the title Mother of God was a title given to Mary in the 5th century, not because of her own actions, but because of who her Son is. All things, Mary, point to Jesus, and the whole truth of who her Son is, and not a partial truth. That's the quick theology behind the title Mother of God. But from a spiritual angle, an angle that serves us in our religious lives, Mary as Mother of God is a title that exudes the image of calm and wisdom, the image of taking the time to be reflective concerning all the things that were being spoken about her Son. Granted, Mary was in a stable and had just given birth and probably didn't feel like getting up and doing some jumping jacks or walking south to Egypt. She was resting in a manger, which is what mothers try to do after giving birth. So she wasn't going anywhere soon. But Mary, as Mother of the Most High, was not forced into the calm and wisdom we see on display in this holy scene. She wasn't forced into reflecting on all that was said about her Son. They were choices Mary made in the moment. And the Mary, Mother of God title, is the most proper title that is consistent with the visitation of the shepherds, because the shepherds made known the message that had been told them about this child. The message, spoken by an angel from heaven, passed on to Mary by the shepherds. That said, for today in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. Christ, meaning Messiah, Lord, meaning God. The title, Mother of God, is the most proper title for Mary. It fits perfectly into this scene of Jesus' birth, revealing his human and divine natures. Mother of God is a title to rejoice in, but we also rejoice in something that speaks to us that in the midst of something amazing, Mary remained calm, possessing the great virtue of wisdom, taking time to reflect upon the events in her life. This is how we too get in touch with the Lord, draw closer to him, and remain his handmaid in likeness of the Mother of God. This was from Catholic.com. And EWTN. Upcoming, we have the Great Feast of the Epiphany, as Emily said, is January 6th. While the hustle and bustle of Christmas ends for too many people on December 26th, shamefully, unknowingly to some, but throughout the Christian history, Christmas lasts for 12 days. All the way until January 6th, Feast of the Epiphany, Little Christmas. In the Latin Rite of the Catholic Church, Epiphany celebrates the revelation that Jesus was the Son of God. It focuses primarily on this revelation to the three wise men, but also in his baptism in the Jordan River and at the wedding of Cana. In the Eastern Rites of the Catholic Church, Theophany, as Epiphany is known in the East, commemorates the manifestation of Jesus' divinity at his baptism in the River Jordan. While the traditional date for the feast is January 6 in the United States, the celebration of Epiphany is moved to the next Sunday, overlapping with the rest of Western Church's celebration of the baptism of Christ. However, the meaning of the feast goes deeper than just bringing presents or the end of Christmas, says Father Carnazzo, a Melkite Catholic priest, and he's founding executive director of the Virginia-based Institute of Catholic Culture. You can't understand the Nativity, as he says, without knowing the Theophany. And you can't understand Nativity without Epiphany, the revelation of Christ as the Son of God, both as an infant and at his baptism, illuminate the mysteries of the Christmas season, he said. Our human nature is blinded because of sin, and we're unable to see as God sees. God reveals to us the revelation of what's going on. While the Western celebration of Epiphany, which comes from Greek meaning revelation from above, and the Eastern celebration of Theophany, meaning revelation of God, have developed their own traditions and liturgical significances, these feasts share more than just the same day. The Feast of Epiphany, or the Feast of Theophany, is a very, very early feast, said Father Carnazzo. It predates the celebration of Christmas on the 25th. The celebration of the visitation of the Magi in the Roman tradition, whom the Bible describes as learned wise men from the East, has developed its own distinct traditions throughout the Roman Church. As part of the liturgy of the Epiphany, it is traditional to proclaim the date of Easter and other movable feast days to the faithful, formally reminding the Church of the importance of Easter and the resurrection to both the liturgical year and the faith. Other cultural traditions have also arisen around the feast, said Dr. Matthew Bunsen from EWTN. In Italy, Le Balfont brings sweets and presents to children not on Christmas but on Epiphany. Children in many parts of Latin America and the Philippines and Portugal and Spain also receive their presents on the Three Kings Day. In Ireland, Catholics celebrate Women's Christmas, where women rest from housework and cleaning and celebrate together with a special meal. Epiphany in Poland is marked by taking chalk, along with gold, incense, and amber, to be blessed at Mass. Back at home, the families will inscribe the first part of the year, followed by the letters K, M, B, and then the last numbers of the year on top of every door in the house. The letters, explained by Dr. Bunsen, stand for the names traditionally given to the three wise men, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, as well as for the Latin phrase Christus Mansentium Beneficial, or Christ Bless This House. In nearly every part of the world, Catholics celebrate Epiphany with a king's cake, a sweet cake that sometimes contains an object like a figurine or a lone nut. In some locations, lucky recipients of this prize either get a special treatment for the day, or they must then hold a party at the close of the traditional Epiphany season on February 2. The revelation of God, Father Carnazzo explains, is the Feast of Theophany and of Christ's baptism more broadly with the Eastern Catholic Churches. In our Christian understanding in the East, we are looking at creation through the eyes of God, not so much through the eyes of man. In the feast of the baptism of the Lord, he continued, there is special divine significance. And this is celebrated on February 2. With the feast day, the pastor explained, God has come to reclaim us for himself. Because of original sin, he continued, humanly, as inherited a human nature which has been dislocated from its source of life. Sin also affected parts of creation such as water, have also been separated from their purpose and connection to God's plan for life, Father Carnazzo said, because its original purpose is not just to sustain our bodies, but our souls as well. With the fall, however, it has been dislocated from its source of life. It is under the dominion of death. If doesn't have eternal life anymore. So God comes to take it to himself. To mark the day, Eastern Catholics begin celebrations with divine liturgy at church, which include a blessing of the waters in the baptistry. After the water is blessed, the faithful drink the water and bring bottles of water to bring it back to their homes for use, and not only physical but spiritual healing, he explained. Many parishes hold feasts after liturgy is over. In many Middle Eastern cultures, people also fry and eat aromat, the dough that is fried until it floats, and then it is covered in honey. During the Theophany season, priests also try to visit each home in the parish to bless the house with holy water that was blessed at Theophany. Father Carnazzo invited all Roman Catholics to come and become familiar, to be a part of the full church family, and join in celebrating Eastern Catholic traditions. Don't forget to wish Merry Christmas to all of those as you approach January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. How will you spend the little Christmas?
Thank you.
Welcome to the Hour of Great Mercy, brought to you by the Legion of Mary, Immaculate Conception Presidium, here at St. Mary the Assumption in Hockessin, Delaware. As to the history of the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in 1935, St. Faustina received a vision of an angel sent by God to chastise a certain city. She began to pray for mercy, but her prayers were powerless. Suddenly, she saw the Holy Trinity and felt the power of Jesus' grace within her. Then she found herself pleading with God for mercy with the words she heard interiorly.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us.
As she continued saying this inspired prayer, the angel became helpless and could not carry out the deserved punishment. The next day, as she was entering the chapel, she again heard this interior voice, instructing her now to recite the prayer that the Lord later called the chaplet. This time, after "Have mercy on us," were added the words, "and the whole world." From then on, she recited this form of prayer almost constantly, offering it especially for the dying. In subsequent revelations, the Lord made it clear that the chaplet was not just for her, but for the whole world. He also attached extraordinary promises to its recitation. Encourage souls to save the chaplet which I have given you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at the hour of death. When they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my Father and the dying person, not as the just judge, but as the merciful Savior. Priests will recommend it to sinners as their last hope of salvation, even if there were a sinner most hardened. If he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I desire to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Through the chaplet, you will obtain everything if what you ask for is compatible with my will. Prayed on ordinary rosary beads, the chaplet of the Divine Mercy is an intercessory prayer that extends the offering of the Eucharist, so it is especially appropriate to use it after having received Holy Communion at Holy Mass. It may be said at any time, but our Lord specifically told Saint Faustina to recite it during the 9 days before the Feast of Mercy, the first Sunday after Easter. He then added, "By this novena of chaplets, I will grant every possible grace to souls." It is likewise appropriate to pray the chaplet during the Hour of Great Mercy, 3 o'clock each afternoon, recalling the time of Christ's death on the cross. In his revelations to Saint Faustina, our Lord asked for a special remembrance of his passion at that hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. A fount of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins
and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We now pray the prayer for priests from St. Faustina. O my Jesus, I beg you, on behalf of the whole Church, give us holy priests. You yourself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of your mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priest, for you can do all things. The Novena for Priests. Jesus, Good Shepherd, you sent us the Holy Spirit to guide your Church and lead her faithful to you through the ministry of your priests. Through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, grant to your priests wisdom in leading, faithfulness in teaching, and holiness in guarding your sacred mysteries. As they cry out with all the faithful, Abba, Father, May your priests be ever more closely identified with you in your divine sonship, and offer their own lives with you, the one saving victim. Make them helpful brothers of one another and understanding fathers of all your people. Renew in your priests deeper faith, greater trust in you, childlike reliance on our Mother Mary, and unwavering fidelity to the Holy Father and his bishops. Holy Mary, intercede for your priests. Saint Joseph, protect them. Saint Michael, defend them. Saint John Vianney, pray for them.
Thank you all for listening. We welcome your comments. Please send them via email to legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. I repeat, legionofmary.internetradio@gmail.com. And finally, we would like to acknowledge the following who made this broadcast possible: Father Charles Dillingham, pastor of the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church, Hockessin, Delaware, United States of America; Tony McGinley of Aremis Communications; A.J. Laporto, who provided the music; the members of the Legion of Mary Immaculate Conception Presidium. Thank you, and please listen again next Friday at 3 p.m. Happy New Year.
And Merry Christmas.